Let's talk about the financial world right now with John Beaver, financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. Visit phase3advisory.com. Welcome back, John. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well today, and I wish you and your whole team there at WGN a joyous holiday season.
Yeah, likewise to you, and a happy new year. How's this year going to end up? Are people going to be in a good mood financially or not, do you think?
You know, financially, maybe not so much. We had a so-so PPI reading today. Typically, December is a good month seasonally. A midterm election year adds to that. But when we have a down year in the market and we hit December, typically it's not the best of December. So the jury is out, but I'm not expecting much good news by the end of the year.
What's the number you're looking at that was so-so?
The PPI was up 0.3%, and that's a little bit to the high side. The last 4 months, three of those months have only been up 0.2%, so we're still running a little bit on the hot side. But internally, inside the PPI report, we're seeing details of decreasing inflationary pressure. So that's good. It's just taking time for the Fed to slay the inflation dragon.
Is this a monster that we created? Like, when they write about this someday, will they say that it was inevitable because of the stimulus that was put into the market because of the pandemic? Or did we make a specific mistake? And if so, what was it?
It's definitely my opinion that the mistake was made, and the mistake was stimulating way too much for too long. The Fed has kept interest rates abnormally low for over 15 years. And while they needed to do some stimulus in the financial crisis, they went way too long. They got scared out of removing the stimulus in 2015, and they added more stimulus. And then we had the pandemic hit. And again, they needed to do something, but they've done too much, in my opinion. And on top of that, we've had unbelievable spending out of Washington. So you put that all together, we're talking about $30 trillion of additional government spending. That's money they don't have. And Federal Reserve, we'll call it the balance sheet, that's basically just printed money. $30 trillion in the last 15 years. It's a ton of money. So it's no wonder we have inflation.
You went back to 2015 when you said we started giving away too much money. 2015.
So we started giving away too much in 2008. 2015, the Fed tried to start taking that money back, and the stock market didn't respond well, and they got scared out of taking that money back, so they relented and, you know, sat down for a while.
I'm thinking more, though, of what just happened since 2020 and maybe the last round of stimulus. Either wasn't sufficiently targeted, well, clearly it wasn't, or maybe it wasn't even necessary. Are you of a mind like that as well?
You know, something was necessary, and they had to act quickly, and so I applaud them for acting quickly. Yeah, it was indiscriminate, but it was better than trying to spend 2 years figuring out where to send it. So that was okay. The problem was when they went into round two, and they really just printed too much money. The Federal Reserve should not have, you know, with the Treasury, printed as much as they did. But we've got something tasty in the financial markets, too.
What have you got?
Bonds. Bonds are back. It has been years since we have looked at buying traditional bonds because the interest rates have been held abnormally low. They're finally getting back to a normal level. That rise has been devastating to the bond market the last 18 months. Worst bond market in history the last 18 months. But finally, we're to a point where people can buy bonds again. We got the 2-year Treasury yielding 4.33%. The 10-year Treasury less than that at 3.55, which gives us an inverted yield curve, which does predict a recession. But this is a good time to be buying some bonds and adding them back into your portfolio.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a lot on this radio show this last half of the year. In fact, the number one searched business item on Google was about this very subject, about as much as that inverted yield curve is not a good thing, you can take advantage of it, right?
Absolutely, and this is the time to do it.
So if you're not loving stocks, what stocks do you at least love a little bit? What are you optimistic about?
So this is a time to still be defensive. The time to buy stocks across the board is about the time that the recession starts, and we're still waiting for that recession. So meanwhile, you want to sit in maybe healthcare, consumer staples can be a good place to be. And interestingly, not thought of to be a traditionally defensive area is actually energy, but there's a whole other issue going on with energy, and that's what we think is a commodity super cycle that has started. So it's going to be volatile in the energy complex, maybe wait for a little pullback here, but that can be a good long-term buy at this point in time, in our opinion, and not much beyond that. The stock market is on the high side. We think we're range-bound between 3,500 on the downside on the S&P 500 and 4,000 on the upside. We're at 3,966 and change. So right now, this is not a good time to be a buyer of stocks. This is a good time to be a seller. But if you have to be in some place, again, healthcare, consumer staples, and possibly energy.
Do you have a ceiling and floor in mind for the Dow?
On the Dow, we'd definitely be looking at this level right here, maybe a little bit higher, and believe it or not, maybe 30,000 on the downside.
Really? So you think after the turn of the year, when we get into a bona fide recession, that the market's going to slip back again?
Yeah, that's my opinion, and we think we've got room to the downside, possibly double bottoming to the low that we had back in September. That's a real good possibility. We might not quite make it that low, but the market doesn't seem to be pricing it.
Hold on. Double bottoming. What does that mean? We were at 29 on the Dow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, talking about that double bottom on the Dow.
Well, so, but I mean, what we're looking, so if another, are you saying 24,000 then on the Dow, or you think 29,000 on the Dow?
29. I mean, the level about 30,000, there's a level at 30,000 that we hit in June, and then we went a little bit below that in September. So,
not defining
an exact point, but maybe testing that area.
So you might put money in bonds now, be on the sideline with the equities generally, although if you are. So many of us are, you know, don't buy individual stocks. We don't even buy funds that are specific to categories. We just kind of buy indices, or we buy something that is aggressive or moderate in our, you know, taste ability, in our risk level. People that are dollar cost averaging, that are just throwing money in every month, maybe they're not going to get, they might be getting more later, but you're not advising them to not continue to do that now, are you?
No, dollar cost averaging is a great strategy for right now. In this season that we're at in the market, this is what I call an economic spring. It's good for the economy. The economy is very resilient here in spite of some threats of recession, which hopefully will be a softer landing. But this is still a good time to be an investor in the U.S. economy. So keep that dollar cost averaging going. All these purchases in these low area will make money if the market recovers, and we do expect the market to recover to the previous high, 4,800 on the S&P, but probably not for at least 12 months. So you have to just be patient and keep plunking that money in. The challenge is if people have money in the market that they're going to need in the next year, that's where the challenge comes in. And they shouldn't have had that money in the market, shouldn't have short-term money ever in the market. That belongs somewhere else. But yeah, this, they can keep dollar cost averaging. We're not to the point where we're going to get range-bound in the market for a decade yet. That day may be coming, but not just yet. So
one last
hang
question.
On.
What about FTX? What's the long-term effects of that?
Long-term effects of that are actually good because, believe it or not, probably do need some regulation in the crypto area, not for the faint of heart. It's going to take a little bit to undo this. Won't go into Sam himself, but not a good character, in my opinion. And what this is going to do is take away some of the anonymity that people have wanted in the crypto area. But it is going to advance regulation, which is just going to speed up the process of moving to a central bank digital currency probably sometime in the next 5 years.
Okay, we'll leave it there now. John Beaver, always a pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for your thoughts and wisdom today.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
Olga Camargo joins us now on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Olga's a financial expert, the founder and CEO of something called Sheenix. And this actually rolls right into something that we were just talking about the other day, the Pay Equity Day for Latinas. Thanks for joining us, Olga. You're on WGN. How are you?
John, good afternoon. Thank you for having me today for this important conversation.
Well, before we get into the details on that, tell me a little bit about what you do. What's Sheenix?
So Sheenix is a fintech app that we're focusing basically on Latinas, and obviously to tackle the Latina Equal Pay Day that you just mentioned. So again, about you know, making sure that they are getting fairly compensated before we can actually even begin helping them, you know, better spend their money, save their money, invest their money, helping them also achieve their financial goals, right, their dreams. And so what Sheenix does is it's a fintech app, like I said, and we have two other co-founders. It's not just myself. It's Patricia Mota of, and also Juan Carlos Avila. And we have been collectively working together throughout these, oh my gosh, probably closer to 20 years in trying to economically empower and transform our Latino community across the nation through a nonprofit organization. So now we said, well, okay, that's great. And now let's start talking about the finances and how do we do this. So what we wanted to make sure with Sheenix was that we were targeting, obviously, the Latinas because they are the group with the widest wealth gap in the United States. And we figured that if we started a fintech that actually focused on Latinas, that anybody else could actually enter and into this fintech. Because I believe that sometimes existing fintechs, they start at a different level, and Latinos don't feel that they're really being addressed and that they cannot engage. And the way that you address Latinas is in a different way. You have to bring in that cultural mindset that we all share as Latinas, which is, yes, we do good for ourselves, but we also do good for our families. And so sometimes that can be a big stretch, and sometimes very, I'm going to just call it burdensome, right? And so when you are talking to a Latina and helping them grow economically and helping them transform, right, you have to consider all those things because that's a reality in their life. And so you have to address them with, number one, this fintech addresses a couple of things. Number one, their pay. Let's start off with their pay, getting equal pay. And so we're actually working with partners like the Hispanic Alliance for Career Enhancement, who are already, we already know how to do that. I'm on the board of that as well. They already know how to do that. They know how to take Latinas, help them have the proper conversations with their supervisors or managers at work, and really getting them to be more engaged with their managers so that they can actually grow in their career and obviously get paid what they're supposed to be being paid, right? So that's already happening.
You mentioned this fintech app, F-I-N-T-E-C-H. So a fintech app, is that different than any other app? That's an app on my phone?
This fintech app right now, number one, is web-based, but it will be going onto the phone itself. So yes, it would be an app on your phone. But right now, it doesn't mean a lot of fintech apps that out there have some web-based portion of it, and then they're also available on the phone. So we are starting right now on the web-based, and we are going to be moving. Well, not moving. We're going to leave that there, and we're going to obviously also launch the second portion of it, which would be on the phone this coming year. But we cannot wait for that one. We have to move now, and just honestly, within the first not even 2 weeks of just myself, my co-founders mentioning this through our own personal like LinkedIn profiles, we had about 250 Latinas show up, sign up. And so we know that this is something that they have been waiting for. We had everywhere from Latinas in everyday, you know, everyday, like just working to PhD Latinas saying, my gosh, finally, right? And you can see those comments on social media. I mean, everything's out there at this point for Sheenix. And so we are continuing to bring in a lot of partners at this point, John, to be able to deliver on this more comprehensive value proposition for Latinas.
So, it's a financial technology fintech app. But as a web page, essentially, right now, or website. So if yesterday, I think it was, or is it today, is the Latina Pay Equity Day? That is, they almost have to work 2 years to equal what white men make in the marketplace. I mean, it's already the second week of December. Why is there that disparity?
Well, I mean, this is an ongoing conversation within women, especially Latinas. Obviously, we have a lot of systemic issues within the systems that exist right now, and some have even, I mean, most of us know that there's also some racial discrimination as well in terms of, you know, you have to offer the same pay to everyone, right, if they're doing the same job, no matter who they are. And so the other thing is, you know, coming from having suffered that myself, I no longer allow that to happen to me. But when you suffer that, I think that you're out there. I'm out there advocating for this. So are my co-founders. You know, there's you're speaking from a space of experience, having lived it, and the importance of, you know, making sure that you are getting that fair pay despite those issues within the systems. And you know, I still feel that, you know. I was just looking at when I started talking about this, which was about 6 years ago. In 2016, I started talking about this out at the New America Alliance's Wall Street Summit in New York. And that was payday. I think Latina Equal Pay Day was November 1st that year. So here we are 6 years later, John, and now it's worse. 2 years. This honestly is a real nightmare. For Latinas.
If people do equal pay, they should get equal work. I suppose part of the problem for Latinas, though, is not maybe overt discrimination, but a lack of opportunity historically, so that some of these women have not actually been in a position, either career-wise or educationally or with the support of a family. They simply haven't had the opportunity to capture the next rung on the ladder. I presume
Absolutely.
That's part of it as well.
That is definitely a part of it. Absolutely. That's one issue. The other issue is not maybe being as vocal with their supervisors and managers in terms of like, yes, this position is great. And then doing obviously the networking that's involved. And, you know, it is a cultural thing. Right. But that's exactly why this fintech works, because it is educational in terms of like live webinars that we'd be providing, recorded videos, articles, everything that our partners can actually bring in also with content that says, look, this could work and let's have a conversation. And then you go out and implement that, go execute on this. Right. So it's about, you know, being able to be at work, network, vocalize
right,
what,
right.
You see as your success and trying to get promoted. Yes.
I think it's easy to at a glance say you found a nice niche, but I think this is a site that would benefit all of us. I mean, a lot of these things you're talking about, if I'm a Latina or not, I ought to be able to advocate for myself. I ought to be able to network. Although it sounds like you are looking specifically for Latinas in this group. Am I correct about that?
Now, like I said earlier, we start off with the lowest common denominator, right? And if you can address those issues and not, you know, gloss over it, then that means everybody else can join. That's what I said. It's like there's a different entry point. Anybody, this is all in English. It's not all in Spanish. There will be some select content in Spanish, and we welcome everyone. Come learn some Spanish a little bit or just come and listen, right? But no, we are focusing just on a group that has been largely ignored. And when you do that, that means everyone else can enter, and that is the beauty of Sheenix. So, and whether or not, you know, whatever your gender, you are welcome to come in and also obviously help us advocate for not just Latinas, but all those groups that can actually, you know, should be benefiting. Other information that we need to include. We are right now, like I said, we are in our early stages, but we're already making impact, and we would love to continue growing. And, in order to change this,
I want to make sure, Olga, that we also spell it correctly for our listeners. And then we have to go. It's Shenix, Shenix.app. So the site is Shenix.app. So Shenix.app. And that's where you'll find the helpful advice from Olga Camargo and her colleagues, the financial expert and founder, the CEO of Shenix. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much, John. You take care.
Olga Camargo. This is WGN's Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. CardioSense, a Chicago startup that's developing a wearable sensor to detect heart disease, has announced a $15 million fundraising round. The cash will help the company make its submission seeking regulatory approval for its CardioTag device. The small multi-sensor device is worn on the chest to detect and manage heart disease. It remotely takes readings on cardiac output and other heart vitals. CardioSense grew out of research partially conducted at Northwestern University. Cranes reports the CardioSense algorithm has already been granted a breakthrough device designation by the FDA. That designation means expedited FDA review of the device. A technology startup focusing on agriculture has raised more than $46 million to help build farm robots, and the company has landed an investment from former McDonald's CEO Don Thompson. Verdant Robotics has developed technology that can weed, fertilize, and apply pesticides simultaneously. It also collects data on plants, which is then sent back to farmers in real time. The latest fundraising round was led by Cleveland Avenue LLC, a Chicago-based venture capital group led by Thompson. The funding will enable Verdant Robotics to scale its fleet, build more machines, and cover more acres. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and here we go. The World Cup is winding down. It'll finally finish up a week from Sunday, and how great that the U.S. is still in it. We are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Now, just to clarify before Dave yells at me, the U.S. team is not still in the World Cup, but the team of U.S. men and women showing all kinds of American food to that part of the world is still in the thick of it.
Basically, we are just introducing the high-quality U.S. products grown by our hardworking farmers back in the United States to all the participants here that are coming to Doha to see these games.
Lucas Blaustein of the USDA speaking to us from Qatar, where people can drop by the U.S. Pavilion and sample various American made food products, and our Dairy Farmers of America brought the cheese.
Most overseas consumers think that U.S. cheese only comes in a can or on a piece of plastic. We're the number one cheese exporter in the world. People come in and they think, oh, I'm just going to get a slice of American I put on a burger, and they don't realize that we're doing really creative cheddars. We're doing all kinds of aged cheeses. We're doing cheeses with different spices and textures, and they get to try that when they come into the pavilion.
And he says that part of the world is a huge marketing opportunity.
We have, so far, just this year in 2022, as of September, exported $8.4 billion in U.S. agriculture-related products to the Middle East and North Africa. That's a drop in the bucket compared to the opportunity that we've got here. We have a region that imports $93 billion in 2021 of food and ag-related products, and this is a population of over 473 million people. It's larger than the United States, and we want to introduce all of those great products from home here in these really valuable markets to our great partners.
Lucas Blaustein, part of the U.S. team, still in it in the World Cup. And one more thing today, a programming note. If you're considering prime rib for your Christmas or New Year's dinners, you'll want to listen to the Business of Food on Monday when a Chicago chef will tell us the secrets of preparing restaurant quality prime rib. From the farm to your belly, today is National Pastry Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Shayna Raven is the Assistant Director of Marketing at Marquee Development. We're talking about the Wrigley Wonderland, which is bigger and better now than ever. Welcome, Shayna. You're on WGN.
Hi, John. Thanks so much for having me today.
So we've heard about what's going on inside Wrigley Field, and I want to talk to you about that inside Wrigley Field. Is there stuff adjacent to Wrigley Field as well? And the whole Gallagher Way, there's a hotel across the street. Is that all included in this Winter Wonderland concept?
Yes, absolutely. Winterland at Gallagher Way includes our full campus over by Wrigley Field. So we have activities in Gallagher Way, inside the ballpark, and all of our businesses around the campus are also involved in the fun.
So you've got like food specials and Santa at some of the restaurants across from Clark there?
Yeah, there are some fun holiday pop-ups going on, some activities at the hotel like Breakfast with Santa, just a lot of holiday activities.
What's going on inside Wrigley?
Sure. So inside Wrigley Field, we have some expanded fun for the first time ever. So our ice rink has now moved into the ballpark, even bigger than ever before, with ice skating and ice bumper cars. Guests can ride around the new infield express train, which goes around the bases. They can slide down the winter tube ice slide onto the field. There's festive drinks and so many more activities for the whole family.
So I buy tickets, is that what it is? And then, like when you go to the fair or something, certain things cost so many tickets, I give them the tickets?
Yes, absolutely. So everything out in Gallagher Way, including Chris Kindle Market Wrigleyville and Santa's Workshop, remains free to the public and free of admission. To access the new activities inside Wrigley Field, admission starts at $5. And then you can also purchase Peppermint Packs, which is an attraction ticket bundle that $30 and includes 10 tickets to access the rides and games. All this is available online in advance at GallagherWay.com, or you can come up and purchase on site.
Can I bring my own skates, or do I rent them from you?
You can, either one. We have skates available for rent, or at a reduced rate, you can come bring your own skates and check out the Gallagher ice rink that way.
Just talk to me briefly about some of the food specials, where the hotel is and the restaurants are.
Yeah, so out in Gallagher Way, our returning favorite, Kitskindle Market Wrigleyville, has glue wine in their seasonal souvenir mugs. There's the raclette cheese sandwiches, hot chocolate, tons of really cool international food and beverage options out there in Gallagher Way. Inside the ballpark with our lodge, we have some new festive drinks available. We also have s'mores kits, which have been super popular for families. There are some fire pits to warm up around and make s'mores while you're at Winterland.
Okay. What's the best website for us to go to then? Where do we click on to buy tickets in advance or find out more?
All the information on Winterland can be found at GallagherWay.com.
GallagherWay.com. And are you guys doing this up until the end of the year? When do you shut it down?
Yeah, so Kitskindle Market Wrigleyville is open through December 31st, and the rest of the Winterland activities will remain open through January 8th.
Good to know. Shayna Raven, Assistant Director of Marketing at Marquee Development. We're talking about what's going on over by Wrigley Field. What fun. Thanks, Shayna.
Thanks, John. Have a good one.